Okay, I want to read one verse of scripture with you this morning before we start. And I just want you to keep this in mind, and we'll come back to it a little bit later. And we are in Ephesians chapter 3. This is verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So just keep that in mind for a little bit. And I would like to take you with me this morning on a little ride from my house to the church. Now, if you guys don't, some of you might not know where I live, but if you know where the Willis Chapel Church is, you go about a mile north and a mile back east. So just gives you a little bit of idea. Only takes about 15, 20 minutes to make that drive. And during that journey, there's two key things that happened that I want to share with you today. So here we go. Now, this message has been in the making for a while, obviously. So earlier this spring, I was on my way down to church one morning early, and it was a foggy morning. And as I made my way out to the main road and I headed south, the fog was just, it was bad, and it just kept getting worse. And as I got down a little bit farther, I dropped down into the bottom. If you know where that place is, I dropped down into the bottom, and the fog just kept getting worse. And we were just north of the Willis Chapel Church in that bottom. And I could hardly see anything. And the farther I went, the denser the fog became. And I don't like driving in fog. I don't mind telling you. Probably most of you don't either. But at that particular moment, I guess you would say I had a God moment. Because as I began to think about this fog that I was driving through, it dawned on me that our lives are very much like that most of the time, a lot of the time anyway. Not because we want it to be, but because Satan likes to surround us with all kinds of things, all kinds of distractions. He tries to confuse our thinking between what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes our lives get so foggy that we don't know which way to turn. We can't hardly see anything. And I began to ask God to help me to navigate through this fog of life. And with the shape that our world is in right now, it's hard to have a clear vision of what's ahead. It's kind of like we're just completely fogged in. Evil is everywhere. And no one is trying to hide it anymore. It's out in the open. They don't even try to disguise it. In fact, the world wants us to believe that it's okay. And every day, sin just becomes bolder and bolder. The fog of evil seems intent on destroying our way of life, right here in our own country. It seems intent on destroying the freedoms that we have enjoyed for almost 250 years. And ultimately, evil or Satan would like to destroy our very lives. This is his goal. And I begin to think about some of these things that are thrown at us. And here's just a few. There is the fog of hate and division. It has entered into every facet of our lives. Satan has used this recipe since the beginning of time. Divide and conquer. Convince us to hate each other if we just don't agree on things. We live in a world where everything has become political, no matter what you talk about. And it's all a distraction from the evil one. There is the fog of power that has taken control of most of our nation's leaders and actually, leaders all over the world, for that matter. Christians are being pressured to keep silent. And the gospel message is becoming a hate speech to the world. They don't want to hear the truth. Many churches are slowly accepting sin into their teachings. Same-sex marriage is now accepted in many denominations. Church denominations are being divided and torn apart over the matter of gay pastors. Then there's the fog of abortion. This is another issue that is tearing our country wide open and dividing us. And Satan wants people to believe that God is okay with killing babies. Then there is the fog of riches, the love of money. It says you never have enough. A fog that says it's okay to get rich any way you can, even if you have to steal it. And then I thought about the fog of war that maims so many young men and women, takes our loved ones away from us. A terrible thing. There is the fog of destruction and death and heartache that people face every day. Life itself comes with all kinds of struggles. Sicknesses, accidents, natural disasters, like what's taking place right now, you would say, and like down in the South, after all of these storms that the people are going through right now, they're facing all of this. And we could go on and on and on and just keep that, but we have to be very careful that we don't let this worldly fog of evil consume us. You see, Satan and his demons are spreading evil throughout the world like never before. The scripture says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." This is exactly what's happening in our world today. It's totally upside down. And the world wants us to think that all of these things are political, that we should fight over them. But make no mistake about it, these are not political issues. These are spiritual issues. And the Bible talks about it all the way through. This battle that we are in is much bigger than what we can see. I want to read with you now from Ephesians 6, verse 12. And this talks about this right here, that these are spiritual issues. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Satan thinks he's in control of this world, and it appears that he is. But if you look in the scripture, it says, only for a season. You see, he was defeated when Jesus went to the cross, when he died for our sins, and on the third day when he arose. Death and the grave could not hold him down. And praise God, it won't be able to hold us down either when that day comes. I know there are battles raging all around us, but the good news is the war has been won. God is in control no matter what things look like. Satan is doomed, and all those who follow him. Now, I know this may seem a little heavy as we started our service, but we need to understand its reality. With our social media, with our news cycle, we live it, we breathe it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Franklin Graham said in one of his articles, "Godly men and women need to rebuke evil." That is so true. We need to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus. We need to expose evil for what it is. We are living in a time of history when Christians cannot be silent any longer. The world doesn't want us, they don't want to hear the truth. But God's word tells us the truth will set you free. And that's what we have to look at. We are the only light that there is in this world. You and I need to be telling others there is a hope for the future, no matter how foggy things become. We need to be telling the world that Jesus loves them, that he came to save them from their sins and to give them hope of eternal life. You know, we talk about this hate, but Jesus said over in the book of John, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Keep in mind, it hated me first. Our Savior and the world hated him. Okay, so that's just the first part of our little drive coming down here. But now let me tell you what happened next. So we're driving down through this thick fog in this bottom ground, and all of these thoughts are running through my head, and it's like, I don't know if I'll ever get any of these down on paper, but anyway, I got some of them down. And then all of a sudden, we break over the top of the hill by the church, and the fog has cleared, and the sun is shining through, perfectly clear, and my whole thought pattern changed at that point. And I thought, wow, this is exactly how God works in our lives. He is the one who cuts through all of this fog in our life, the fog that causes depression and anxiety, the fog that breeds hate and contempt for our fellow man. He cuts through all of the trash in life that tries to consume us. God is the one who, because of his great and amazing love we just sang about, takes the chains away from us, and he puts sunshine back in our lives, and he brings happiness to our soul. He clears out that fog that evil wants us to live in. He clears out all the fog that life throws at us naturally. He opens our eyes so that we can see clearly. God wants us to know how much he loves us. What an amazing God we serve. So if you got your Bibles open, I want to read there in Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16. I put this light up here for a reason. I should turn it on. Starting at verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell on your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul was sharing this prayer for the Ephesians on how to handle what life throws at them. And he was most likely writing this letter from prison at the time to encourage these people in their Christian walk. Paul's response to his own situation, because of what God had done through him, was to kneel before God in humility and adoration. So let's make this even more personal this morning, because it is. And I want you to ask yourself, I got four questions here, and I want you to ask yourself these questions. I've already had to do this. You know, we have to do it first before we can ask you to do it. First question, how do I respond to the highs and lows in my life? We all have mountaintop experiences. We all have valleys we go through. How do I respond to those situations? Second, how do I respond when the fog of evil tries to consume me? It's a tough question, but how do I respond to that? Third, how do I respond when the fog of hate wants to fill my heart? I don't know. Have you ever had hate to fill your heart? I have. It's not a good thing. And hate only hurts. It only hurts you. Because if you hate someone, it just eats at you all the time. It doesn't hurt the other person because they probably don't even know you hate them, or they don't care. So it doesn't matter to them. But it's you that it hurts. How do I respond when tragedy and heartache overtake me? Tough questions. This is the point where we have to make a choice. And life is full of choices. We either let evil or hate or tragedy consume us, or we choose to control it. And we have to make that choice. we either move closer to God or we move farther away from Him. And most everybody here has been in some of these situations before. But I can tell you, for me, there is only one choice, and that is moving closer to God. You must move closer to God. And when I was thinking about this, I thought about Jesus when he was teaching the disciples and his followers. You can find this in John chapter 6. What's really kind of scary about this, it's John 6, 66. So it's the three sixes. Anyway, this is where you can find this, but Jesus was teaching his followers, and they were actually called disciples at the time, and there was lots of them there. And his teaching offended his followers, offended them. They thought they were too hard. And it says, many of them left him. Many of his followers left Jesus. I can't imagine the hurt that Jesus must have felt at that time. And he turned to his 12 chosen disciples. And he asked them this question. Do you want to leave me too? And Peter, he was the guy that always had the answer. And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One. You see, there is no one else to turn to. Only God can protect you from evil. Only God can cleanse our hearts from hate. Only God can heal your broken heart. And only God can fill your heart with love. Folks, there is no one else to turn to but God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why Paul was encouraging the Ephesians to let Christ dwell in their hearts and to be rooted and established deep. Our Christian foundation must be on solid ground. It must be on the solid rock of Jesus. And this, in turn, gives us power through prayer to overcome the fogs of gloom and doom. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that strengthened Paul in his ministry, and he ministered a lot from the prison. It's the same power that helps us battle the fogs of life. We need to make prayer a greater priority in our lives. God wants that personal relationship with each one of us. He wants to have that communication with us. Paul wanted them to know how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. How can we even grasp how great God's love is? And to know that Christ goes beyond everything that we can even understand. I want to share with you a quote that from one writer, what he said about this verse. So I quote here. Christ's love is total, complete, eternal, and all-encompassing. It reaches every corner of our existence. This passage shows that even as we seek to grasp an understanding of Christ's love, we will never understand it completely, for it is beyond our comprehension. God's love is wide, covering the breadth of our own experience and reaching out to the whole world. It's long, continuing the length of our lives and on into eternity. It's high, rising to the heights of our celebration and elation. His love is deep, reaching to the depths of discouragement and despair and even death, unquote. God's love for us is so great that we can't completely understand it. And now verse 20, the one that we read to begin with. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. We see here that God exceeds our human limits. He answers prayers that we think and haven't even put into words. He knows our thoughts. It's so amazing to me that He knows what we need before we need it, before we can even ask. What a great God we serve. He alone deserves glory and honor. And the ability to give glory and honor to God comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, if we are filled with God's amazing love, even though we can't really understand it, God can and will help clear out foggy areas in your life. He'll help you to navigate through them. So don't let this world bog you down. We have a hope that the world doesn't have. Our Lord is aware of all that is going on in this world and in our lives, and He is in full control, and we need to understand that. Put your faith and trust in Him today. Let Him help you to navigate the fog that tries to overcome us. I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up. In closing, and in you think about it, it's all in God's hands. It's all in His timing. One day, that eastern sky is going to break wide open, and the trump of God is going to sound, and everything is going to be put into its place. Paul said in Thessalonians, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." What a great time that's going to be. Whether we're here on earth when all this takes place, or whether we're resurrected from the grave, it won't matter. All of this evil, all of this garbage of this world will be left behind, and everything and everyone will focus on Almighty God, on our Heavenly Father and His only Son, Jesus. At that time, everyone who ever lived will acknowledge who God is and be humbled before Him. The Scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's better to humble ourselves before God now than to be humbled before Him at the judgment. Consider these things this morning. And if you don't have Christ in your life, today would be a great day to ask Him in. And let Him help you navigate through all of this fog and stuff that we have in our lives.